Well, unless you really want to stick around and hear me talk, the children are dismissed to kids' church. We won't have as many snacks or games up here as you will down there, but still your choice. Now, and for the rest of us, let me invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word. We've been making our way through the Gospel of Luke recently, and this morning we come to Luke 18. And then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while, he refused. But later, he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Finally, we get a softball tossed our way here. Thank you, Luke. I needed this one. I needed a straightforward, no-nonsense parable. You know what I'm talking about? With all the texts we've been struggling with recently and sorting through, it's nice for once to be told point blank in verse 1. This parable is about the disciples' need to pray always and not to lose heart. What more do you need me to say than on a Sunday morning? So go this week and pray always and don't lose, heart. Thanks for coming. It was great to see you all. Let's do this again next week. Jay, floor is yours. Actually, okay, hold on a moment. There is one thing I'm trying to work out here. This widow is the one in the story who's praying always and not losing heart, right? I'm catching that part. Does that mean we're supposed to, like, bug and harass God until he gives us what we want? Is that what the suggestion is here? Like, let's wear God down with all our prayers so that eventually he will relent, if for no other reason than to get us off his back? Is that the point Jesus is trying to make? Go and annoy God until he can't stand the sound of your voice. Don't give up, and sooner or later, God will do anything to just get some peace and quiet from you. Is that the kind of faith that the Son of Man is looking for when he comes back on the earth? Because when I say it out loud like that, I don't know, it just doesn't sit quite right. You know what I mean? I mean, for starters, it seems a bit problematic to compare ourselves to the widow if it means comparing God to an unjust judge. I mean, sure, the judge is the character in the story with the most power, and in that way, it's tempting to associate him with God. But his behavior is deplorable. Is that really how we're meant to imagine God? And is our relationship with God meant to be characterized by such irritation? If the answer to those questions is no, and I think they need to be no, then maybe this parable is not such a softball after all. Maybe we still have to wrestle with what Jesus is trying to tell us. And in our wrestling, I suspect that we will find this parable encourages us, and then it extends an invitation to us, and then finally it challenges us. Now, the encouragement comes when we realize that Jesus is actually not making a one-to-one comparison. God does not equal the unjust judge. Rather, it's the opposite, he tells us. This parable works by way of contrast. So if someone who is as unjust and uncaring as this judge can finally grant justice to a defenseless widow because of her ceaseless petitioning to him, and Jesus says, how much more will God, who is a good and just judge, answer the persistent prayers of those whom he loves? Will God delay long in helping them, Jesus asks. And I think rhetorically so in verse 7, because then he answers himself, I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. It's the same kind of contrast that Jesus offered earlier in Luke 11. When he said, is there anyone among you, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? No, I mean, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so in this way, we can take encouragement from this parable that God is not like us. Where there is evil in us, there is only good in God. And where we, like this judge, can be unjust toward others, he is only ever just. Where we fail to be concerned with our neighbors, he is attuned to what each of us needs, and he's able to provide for our needs. And so as we hear these words this morning, we are encouraged to trade whatever reluctance that we have about petitioning or addressing God, because we know that he desires to respond to us, that his heart is for us. He receives our voices with love, and he answers our concerns with care. And of this, we can be absolutely confident, and that is a great encouragement. But if we're honest, I think we have to call Jesus out on this last point that he gave to us. Jesus says clearly that when it is justice that we cry out for day and night, that God will grant justice to his chosen ones, and he will not delay in helping them. But church, I read the headlines just like you do, and I don't see it. Every week we gather to pray, thy kingdom come, and every week there is this immediate temptation to despair or to be skeptical because thy kingdom is taking thy sweet time in coming. And yet this is where the invitation of the parable comes in. It's right there in the beginning. We are invited to pray always and not to lose heart. So first off, this is an invitation for me to pray way more diligently than I do for God's justice to come on the earth. When this great big world of ours confronts us with new problems and fresh tragedies each day, we are invited to cry out, come, Lord Jesus. And when those who have power and authority but have no interest in the plight of the powerless or no concern for those whose lives are affected by their decision, we're invited to cry out, do not delay, God. And when what's happening here on earth feels so very far from the reality of heaven, we join our voices with the psalmist and we cry out, rouse yourself. Why do you sleep, O Lord? Awake. Do not cast us off forever. And we're invited to do this, not just when we feel like it or when we remember, but we make it a habit to cry out to God every day and every night with a sincere desire to see his kingdom come and his justice done. And that's the first and probably the most obvious invitation of this parable, to face and to fight the darkness through persistent prayer. Because who knows what forces will get shaken up when we keep showing up through prayer. But it's this second invitation that really gets to me. This invitation to not lose heart. Now, all too often, and I confess I have a lot of things to learn here, the magnitude of what is wrong with the world, that the depths of depravity and the breadth of our brokenness is so overwhelming that I want to just stop caring. I want to disengage. Or I want to wrestle the controls away from God and show him how this ought to be done. Of course, neither of those is a faithful posture when it comes to following Christ. And so Jesus shows us this widow, this unlikely role model, as a third way to be in the world. But why a widow? Did you wonder that, like I wondered that? Why not just some middle-class guy, some hard-working fella? I suspect it's because widows, at least in Jesus' day, represent those who are some of the most vulnerable, most defenseless, most unlikely to hold any kind of political clout or wield economic status. Widows, on the whole, probably do not have a lot of wealth or influence or powerful friends. They begin each day at a disadvantage as they face a system determined to work against them, which makes it all the more remarkable that this widow does not lose heart. She does not disengage from the world. She does not curse God for all that she does not have, or she does not think that she can do things better than him. She does not blame others for her situation. In fact, it seems like no one's told her that she's supposed to be powerless here. And granted, she may not have much, but the grit that she has and the daily renewal of her conviction that justice is possible keeps her in a position of hope. And when hopelessness is the water that we are swimming in, hope is life and breath. Hope is everything. Now, I dare say that most of us, if not all of us, have a good deal more than this widow. More money, more influence, more social clout, more friends in high places, more sway over the shape that our lives can take, more ability to have our voices heard and taken seriously. There is much more that we can do within the broken systems of our world than she could do within the broken system of hers. And yet Jesus' point is that whether we have those things or not, the money and influence and social clout, we can all learn something about power from this widow. We can let her teach us how to face a broken and corrupt system without losing heart. Circumstances are not the key factor here, because in all circumstances, our posture of hope does not waver. And so Jesus invites us through her to show up each day with a clear sense of God's purpose for our lives, so that in our prayers we do not lose heart, but are renewed in hope. So there's definitely encouragement for us in this parable. There is, as we just said, an explicit invitation to us as well. But let me suggest that there's also a challenge tucked away here. Up to this point, we've been taking our cues from the widow. She's the one we've been identifying ourselves with. But consider with me, if you will, another reading of this parable in which we are not the widow in the story. Maybe we are more like the unjust judge, and God is the one who day and night pleads with us, knocking at our doors, asking us to wake up to the injustice of the world and do something about it. Now, at first that seems maybe preposterous until I start paying attention to my own heart. Do I not fit the description of the unjust judge at times? And can I honestly say of myself that I always fear God, and that it shows in how I manage my money or how I think about my future or how I relish in my achievements or how I trust and never fear? And when it comes to people, is it true that I show respect at all times in how I speak of others, especially in how I behave towards those whom I disagree with? Am I concerned with the plight of those in my community? Am I aware? Do I actively do all that I can? And even if I do all of these things, am I not just a word or a thought or an action away from sharing the same disdain as the judge in this story? Or we can consider it from the other side as well. Does God not consistently place himself on the side of the poor and the disadvantaged and the marginalized? Is it really so far-fetched to imagine that he might stand in solidarity with a defenseless widow? That it's closer to the truth, actually, that between us and him, that he would be the one who is faithfully persistent in working toward justice. Because if even for a moment we can imagine God in this unrelenting pursuit for us to join him in his kingdom, then maybe we can finally hear the challenge of this parable. A challenge to open our hearts to the defenseless and to the powerless and to the voiceless, to the abused, the scorned, the marginalized. And to stubbornly refuse to use the Bible in such a way that further marginalizes or oppresses others. The challenge to us is that whatever power or influence we do have, that we don't use it to get the better of people, but to make people's lives better. And so, yes, pray. And pray persistently. But pray not just with eyes closed and lips shut. Embody those prayers with eyes open to see the pain of our neighbors and lips let loose to join the chorus of creation's groaning. Because it is only in those persistent prayers that the judge living within each of us can soften, and we might actually finally be able to notice that God has been trying to get our attention this entire time. We just didn't recognize him in the guise of the powerless. And really, that's part of the challenge. Learning to see God in the places and in the people that we don't expect. And so with that in mind, here's our practice for this week. Whenever you go to pray in the coming days, spend a few moments coming back to this parable and just hold it in your imagination. And as you do that, picture God as the widow and you as this unjust judge. It's not God high up in heaven, far away from you, and us down here, lowly nothing. It's not him with all the power and us with none. It's not him the judge and us the ones pleading and bothering him with all our requests. This time, imagine it the other way around. So instead of using his power and authority to force or coerce us into submission, picture God emptying himself and taking the form of one without power, a widow. And God has done this. He's taken on this lowly form so that when we get to the point where we finally relent like this judge, when we finally give in to God's persistent pursuit of us, when we are transformed into people of justice, it will not be because we are afraid of God or fearful of what he might do to us. It will be because we love him, because he has refused to give up on us, refused to stop knocking at the doors of our hearts until our resistance to him is completely dismantled. If we can begin to imagine that, then I think we've caught on to the challenge hidden in this parable. Beloved church, I gotta say, I don't care how easy Jesus makes it sound in verse 1, there is not a softball in sight here. We've got more than enough to wrestle with. Because all this we talk about today, it's easy for me to say, but it's not easy to live. Prayer can be hard, man. And it can feel insufficient. And being persistent in the face of injustice is not for the faint of heart. And having our worldview and our priorities transformed to be like Jesus is painfully refining, especially when we're so entrenched in the worldview and priorities that keep us comfortable and in power. And yet, God does not relent. He will not let us go. He refuses to stop working for our good. And because he has shown us what it is to be persistent, we can be persistent as well. Our steadfast faith in God, the faith that Jesus hopes to find on the earth, is possible, but only because of God's steadfast faith in us. Such is our encouragement and our invitation and our challenge. Pray with me. Almighty God, as your servant Corrie ten Boom once said, you specialize in the impossible. Nothing is too great for your power. Nothing is too small for your love. And so when we pray, we leave the world in which we are powerless to do much of anything, and we step into a world in which everything is possible. And so help us not to lose heart as we pray with our lips and through our actions. In the name of Jesus and in the power of your Spirit, we ask this. Amen.